Amen. How many of y'all are ready for a fresh start in your life today? I am. You know, that's what the resurrection is all about. It's about a new life, a new day, a fresh start, isn't it? Jesus died so that we could live, truly live. That's a fresh start. Just want to welcome you today to Life Church. Look at your neighbor and say, man, y'all look good in your Easter best today. Come on. Glad you made it. Tell the person sitting next to you, glad you made it. We're starting a new series today in line with the resurrection, and the title of our message today is Need a Fresh Start. This is our new series. How many of y'all ever feel like, yeah, I really do. I need a fresh start. You may not need a fresh start in your life, but I can guarantee there's an area, some area in your life where you feel like, you know what, I just need something new in this part of my life. And I believe that as we go through the message today, we're going to give you some principles that are going to help you ignite you, give you a catalyst for a fresh start. How many of y'all are ready for that? Just to get a catalyst for a fresh start. If you will, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 24, because we're going to base everything that we talk about today on the resurrection. That Jesus came that we might have something new in our life, to get connected to God. Luke 24, 1 through 3. It says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, Stephen read the rest of the scripture. It said, as they went on, two men showed up and said, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen, just like he said. Isn't that awesome? Jesus was true to his word that he was going to rise again. We all need a fresh start. The good news is God is a God of new beginnings, a God of the fresh start. As a matter of fact, if you'll look, the Bible says that on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the first part of the morning, they went in. Isn't it good that God does everything that he does in a new way, in a new day, a new part, a new life, a new start? This was all happening like this is all new. They came to take care of a dead body, right? They brought spices. But the Bible says that when they got there, they were confused because the body wasn't there. It was a fresh start, a new day, first day of the week. We celebrate on the first day of the week the newness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, really, our text today is going to be Isaiah 43, because I want us to see some things, what the good news is about a fresh start. In Isaiah 43, 1 through 3, it says this, and this is in the NLT. I'm going to read it off the screen. It says, but now, O Jacob, listen to what the Lord who created you, O Israel, the one who formed you, says, do not be afraid, for I've ransomed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I'll be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. Come on now. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt as a ransom for you. I have given Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Let me tell you something. God is encouraging his people today that no matter what that you go through, he's going to be with you. No matter, and I like how he broke it down, don't you? God is a great communicator, isn't he? He said this. He said, do not be afraid of all this. First thing he says, well, don't worry about the deep waters. The deep waters. How many ever felt like you were in deep water? So deep that you were looking for a piece of bamboo that you could stick out the water and start getting a breath, or your lips were just above the waves of the deep water. How many of you feel like you're just over your head? Come on, can you relate to that? But God says when you go through the deep waters, when you're in over your head, when you're overwhelmed, he said, I'm gonna be with you. He said, they're not going to overtake you. In other words, you're not going to drown. I don't know about you, but I've been in deep water where I felt like, Lord, I'm about to drown. I felt like a rock sinking, didn't you? But God said, don't be afraid because these deep waters. Can I just let you know something? That when you're over your head, it's not even ankle deep to God. That when you're going through storms in your life, when you're in the midst of being overwhelmed by deep waters, God's got your back. God's in control. Amen? So he said, when you go through deep waters, when you feel like you can't get a breath, the second thing he said was, how about the rivers of difficulty? How many of y'all ever swam in a river? I grew up in Grangeville, Louisiana. Nobody knows where that is in here except me and my dad. Maybe my kids and my wife. In St. Helena Parish, Louisiana. You know, God can take the worst place and raise up somebody for good. Amen. And we used to swim in the river, and I learned something about the river that sometimes the current is too strong and you can't swim against the current. I was taught as a young man that when you got in trouble in the river, instead of trying to swim against the current, just go with the current, let it carry you down, get on the bank, and then decide what you're going to do. But God talks to the children of Israel, his people, and he says, listen, when you go through rivers of difficulty, this is a time where you feel like everything is coming against you. You feel like you don't have the strength to keep moving forward. You feel like that things are pressing you, pressing against you. You ever felt pressed in your life? Come on, have you ever felt pressed? I can just tell you, I live over my head. And I need the grace of God to do what God's called me to do. How many know that when you learn to live in the grace of God, you can do things you never thought you could do? So when the rivers of difficulty come, when everything seems difficult, that everything that life throws against you, it seems like that things are stacked against you. Have y'all ever been there? God promises you these currents won't overtake you. He's with you. You know, I've been through a lot in my life, and the older I get, I've found that I'm not equipped emotionally, physically, intellectually to deal with things in my life. But I can know this, that if I trust Jesus, no matter if it's deep waters, no matter if it's the rivers of difficulty, those things that are coming against me. I mean, have you ever been so pressed spiritually and emotionally that you could almost feel it physically? That no matter when those things come against you, that God's going to give you grace to go through those things. God's going to give you supernatural grace. You know, grace is supernatural. We like to define grace as unmerited favor, and that's the truth. But it's more than unmerited favor. It's God's ability to cope, and to, or not just cope, but to overcome in this life. Rivers of difficulty. Come on, how many of y'all feel like you're swimming against the current today? Look at your neighbor and say, don't worry about it. God's going to give you floaties. Life is pressing, it's squeezing you. You know, here in this scripture, God has just taken time to encourage his people. Jesus said it this way in John 16, 33. He said, in this world, you're going to have trouble, right? But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. But before he said that, he said something very profound that we need to hold on to as believers. He said, my peace I give you, not as the world gives you. In other words, there's something supernatural about the peace of God. He's the God of all hope. He's the God of all peace. He's the God of all comfort. That as these things come against you that we're not equipped to handle, come on, you don't have enough. We don't have enough. That's why Jesus had to pay the price. That's why he had to rise again, because we don't have the wherewithal. I was talking to we do a jail ministry, and I was talking to the men the other day, and I said, let me ask you something. I said, how many of y'all ever saw 2014 Corvettes? They're pretty sweet. But I don't have the money to pay for that Corvette. I have the desire to want it. Don't get me wrong, I'm not coveting a Corvette. But, you know, that's why it's like spiritually, I want to be saved or I want to do things and I want to overcome, but I just don't have the money in my pocket to pay for it. I don't have the wherewithal to overcome, but Jesus does. Amen? So when the deep waters come and when the rivers of difficulty, when things are just coming against you and you feel pressed, you feel like you're overwhelmed, I wish I would, how many of y'all just wish you would react better initially to overwhelming circumstances? I'm okay after about a couple days, but it takes me a while to learn how to deal with these circumstances. Are y'all like that? Where initially you might react to something, and then you just say, Lord, help me. Come on. I'm just being honest today. Isn't it good that I'm being honest today? God's taking the time to encourage his people. We've all gone through all of this kind of stuff, and God's brought us out of it. You know, that's what's funny. We forget. We forget everything that God's done previously, and we get in these situations, and we get frantic. Right? We get to a place where we're like, well, what am I going to do? I can't cope with all this. But then God always comes through, doesn't he? God's faithful. You know what? I'll tell you one of the secrets to coping with deep waters and rivers of difficulty. We're going to talk about the fires of oppression. But I'm going to tell you a secret. Just remind yourself of what God's done in the past. David defeated Goliath because he encouraged himself in what God had done before. God doesn't bring us to a place where ultimately we fail. Everything that he does is built upon what he's done before. And he's not going to bring you to a place where he can just say, okay, now you're on your own. Good luck. God's not going to do that to you. But we've got to just encourage yourself in the Lord. Learn how to do that. And the way you encourage yourself in the Lord is just remind yourself of God's faithfulness. And then you might not be in a good place right now. I don't know where you are, but just learn this. This is what you're going through right now is temporary, but what you're going to learn in the place you're in today is very invaluable to what God wants to do with you in the future. Hard places are good learning places. And some of us have had easy Christian lives, and I've been there where everything worked all the time. Everything was always good, but I got to a place where I just got to a place where it was beyond me. And that's when I learned that through these difficult times, there's some invaluable lessons that God has taught me. You'll never learn these valuable lessons unless you're in deep water. You'll never learn these valuable lessons until you learn how to cope and how to deal with rivers of difficulty. And then the third thing he said, the fire of oppression. The fire of oppression is when things come against you so hard that you're really discouraged. You're depressed. You're overwhelmed. You feel like it's just too much. It's too hot. I mean, I remember when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the Bible said that when Nebuchadnezzar threw them in the furnace, that they turned it up 6 times hotter. How many of y'all ever feel like sometimes a furnace is just a little bit too hot? Just too hot. God promises that when you get in that place in the fire of oppression and it's pressing you and it's squeezing you and you're discouraged, God says you're not going to get burned up. Not going to consume you. You know, I just wish sometimes everything was just easy. I wish that easy button commercial was true. I would take my easy button with me. And when things got tough, I just hit my easy button. Right? Tanya, what did I do with my easy button? I could just see myself at home. Tanya, bring me my easy button. But it's not like that. God is talking to his people as you're going through the deep waters, the rivers of difficulty, the fire of oppression, all these things, these categories of circumstances that you're going through. God just wants to encourage us that I brought you through these things. That I'm faithful to you and I love you and I care about you and it's going to be okay. I just tell you, some of my best counseling as a pastor is when I don't know the answer. And I just say, I don't know how it's going to happen. But I can promise you this, God is faithful. I do know the character of God. I may not have the answer from God, but it's good to know his character. That everything's going to be all right. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, don't worry about it. Everything's going to be all right. Isn't that funny? That people, when you're going through something, people can tell you, hey, don't worry about it. Yeah, it's easy for you to say, don't worry about it. God's reminding his people that he's with us, he's for us, and he's going to give us everything we need to get through this. But here's the best part of the chapter. In Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, he says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. I love this scripture, don't you? God's talking about all the things he's brought us through. He said, but you ain't seen nothing yet. I was praying here the other day, a few months ago, right here at the altar, and I was just thanking God for what he's done in the church and what God's doing, and God said, you ain't seen nothing yet. God says, I'm going to do a new thing. All the things that I've done, the great things I've done in the past, is not a drop in the bucket to what I want to do in the future. The problem is we just kind of get stuck in the past. We get stuck, and we start talking. Always fight against the good old days mentality. Oh, things were good back in the day. Yeah, they were good back in the day. But they're even better today. And they're going to be better in the future. God's going to do something new. He said, forget the former things. You ain't seen nothing yet. I love that scripture. He's done some amazing things in the past. But he wants you to know, he wants his people to know here in Isaiah. He said, forget all that. Because I'm going to exceed your expectations. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or imagine, according to the power that's at work within us, to him be the glory forever and ever in Christ Jesus. Amen. I want you to understand that scripture and get the brevity of the scripture where it says, I'm going to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or imagine. Wow. In other words, not something tangible you've seen before, but I'm about to blow your mind. Come on, how many of y'all are ready for God to blow your mind? Exceedingly abundantly above. God's about to do something new, something greater than. You've experienced God's power. You've experienced God's love. He was telling his people, listen, you've experienced all these great things I've done. I brought you out of deep water. I saved you from the fire of oppression. I saved you from the rivers of difficulty. But don't worry about all that. Forget about that. There's something greater I want to do. You experienced God's love and power, but you need to get ready because he wants to do something new and amazing in your life. How many of y'all experienced, you know what we experienced this morning? The power of the resurrection in worship. Resurrection was an event. It was an event, but it's more than an event. It's release of the power of God. God wants to release the power of the resurrection in our life. Something new, something dynamic, something that's going to change you. You know what? Can I just say this? Let me preface everything I'm saying today. If God's not doing it, it's not because he doesn't want to. The sticking point most of the time when God desires to do something in our life, it's that number one, we're not believing or we're not ready. It's never because God's not powerful. It's never because he doesn't want to. Now, it may be a timing thing. Just be patient. Occupy till he comes. The Bible says occupy till he comes. What does that mean? Keep doing what you know is right until he comes. Right? So God wants to do a new thing, but you got to ready yourself for it. Let's look at the life of a man who experienced a dramatic transformation in the Word of God. We don't know his name. We know his problem. We know he had a problem, but we know he had a dramatic transformation in his life. God did something dramatic. We learn, here we go, in the Bible, in Acts chapter 3, we're going to read it. We can learn a lot of things from this story. The book of Acts spans the first 40 years of the church life, the first 40 years of church. And this is a very important story because Luke allots one chapter to what God did in this man. So it must be something important in comparison to 28 other chapters in the book of Acts that are given for the church. One chapter is given for what happened to this man. In Acts chapter 3, it says, one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. It was 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put there every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. So here we see a man, Peter and John, and a man who had been in a place for years. Everybody knew him. Think about this man's life. He was born with some kind of problem. He couldn't walk. The Bible says that he was lame. Another version says cripple, which means he didn't have the ability to walk, so he needed other people. Everything that he needed, he looked to other people to get. They had to bring him every day to a place. I want you to get this picture. Because the Bible says that he was brought to the temple at the gate called Beautiful. What a great picture of, here's a temple where someone's brought to the gate of the temple called Beautiful, a broken man brought to a beautiful place that couldn't help him. Religion portrays to be something with no life in it. Religion can identify your problem, but religion can't give you hope. Religion can pinpoint what the problem is, but it offers no solution. And here's this man brought to the gate Beautiful, who couldn't walk, who wasn't whole, dependent on other people to do what he needed to get done, a lame beggar. What a picture. As for you and I, we may not have a physical infirmity that immobilizes us, but there could be something spiritually that's hindering us. Could be something that's stopping us, immobilizing, where we're, can I just tell you, when we're dependent on other people, We're in a bad state. This man was in a bad place, brought to the same place every day, begging. At the entrance of the temple to a gate called Beautiful. The temple represented the religious structure of the day. But that's so crazy is it only had the power to sustain the man's brokenness, not free him from it. Religion has the power to identify your problem, but not solve it. Religion has the, and we got to be careful because we can get that way. We're going to talk about that, how when the, remember when the blind man, they came upon the blind man, the disciple says, Lord, is he blind because of what his parents did? Because religion wants to identify the problem and then wants to try to find the reason why he is like he is. And Jesus says, no, you got it all wrong. He's blind. So that I can be glorified. So here's this man, can't walk, dependent on people, begging for money. Religion only has the power to sustain our brokenness, not free us from it. Here's what we learn in this story. The first thing we learn is this. Number one, religion is powerless. Religion is great in identifying your problem, our problems. Identifying a problem and identifying the problem in people, but never offers hope or solution. Think about religion, the temple. During this time, if you had a physical infirmity or something wrong with you, you couldn't even go into the temple. They wouldn't allow him into the temple because he was lame. And the place that was supposed to offer hope and solutions and transformation, they wouldn't even allow him in. Isn't that a good picture of religion? Where we can identify, yeah, you got a problem, but just keep your problem. Just don't affect us with your problem. Didn't allow him a chance for change or hope. Isn't it funny that religion tries to blame a problem on something else instead of trying to come up with a solution? John chapter 9, 1 through 2. I find myself sometimes thinking like this. Let's go from 1 through 2. It says, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Isn't that funny how religion programs you to look for a reason and to blame something of why we are the way we are? I find myself thinking like that sometimes. That's not God. Verse 3, Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Wow. Every problem in you, if you'll bring it to God and quit trying to evaluate and figure out why you have the problem. The problem is there so that Jesus might be glorified in you. Religion says, I've got to find the reason. Supernatural power says, I got to bring it to Jesus. Isn't this good? Religion is powerless. Think about this. His disciples were thinking, somebody had to be wrong. Something's wrong with this situation. There's a reason. That's a lie of the enemy. Where we got to find someone, some reason, something to blame. It's the birthplace of condemnation and guilt and even pride. If I'm broken, it had to be because of something or someone, something I did wrong. It was me or my parents or their parents. Jesus says, no, so I can be glorified. Isn't this good? Good stuff. Religion was powerless to help a broken man at a beautiful gate. A broken man at a beautiful gate. Religion is powerless to bring true life change. Religion is about behavior modification. Do this, and then you'll get this. Behavior modification never brings lasting change. God is not about modifying your behavior. He's about transforming your character. God is a God of transformation, not behavior modification. Follow certain rules, correct your behavior, stay in line, do this. That's religion. We don't need behavior modification. We need a heart transformation. Let's get back to the story. In Acts chapter 3, verses 3 through 8, it says, when he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked them for money. And Peter looking at him straight in the eyes, as did John, Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Come on. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went into the temple. Come on, underline that. And into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Guess what? He never got to go in the temple. Transformation changes things. He was looking for money, but he got more. God doesn't always give us what we want, but he always gives us what we need. Come on. Remember what Isaiah says, forget all the past. Forget those things. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. Acts 3, 9 through 12 says this, and all the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. And when they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. Peter saw this opportunity and addressed the crowd. He said, "People of Israel, what is so surprising about this? And why stare at us as though we made this man walk by our own power, our godliness?" Peter saw this opportunity to preach. And he starts preaching. And we get this great verse. In verse 16, he said, "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can see." Wow. The second thing we get from these verses is that, number one, religious is powerless. Number two, Jesus is powerful. Everything he couldn't get at the gate called beautiful, he got in 1 second from the power of the name of Jesus. God, we serve the God, the risen Savior today. The power of the resurrection is available to us today to change, to radically change us from a place of immobilization to a place of mobilization and worship, to a place of transformation. The God we serve, Jesus, he can do it. Jesus is powerful. I remind you again of Ephesians 3:20. "Now unto him," big H, capital H-I-M, "who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or imagine, to him be the glory forever and ever, Christ Jesus." Amen. What religion is unable to do, Jesus did it for you and me. The Bible says that God so loved us so much that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, that he came to this earth. The Bible says he was tempted in every way, and yet without sin. He had to be a sinless sacrifice, because there is no power in sin. There's power in sinlessness. And because he was sinless, he was powerful. And because he was sinless, he was perfect. And because he was perfect, he was a sacrifice. And because he was a sacrifice, he died and he rose again. And because he died and rose again, we can be saved. This Jesus, walked this earth for you and me. This Jesus, I'm totally convinced. The Bible says in Hebrews 12 that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. I'm totally convinced that Jesus thought about me when he went to the cross. There was no joy in the cross. The joy of the cross was you and me. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. The joys of the cross was pleasing the Father and loving his people. Religion is powerless. Jesus is powerful. And faith and repentance open the door. Acts chapter 19, as Peter was preaching, he said, "Repent and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and the times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus." A great message. A broken man healed by the power of God. Sitting at the gate called Beautiful, but when he was healed, he didn't sit anymore. Bible says he was leaping and walking and leaping and running and praising God. In the temple, by the way. Come on, we need power in the temple, don't we? Let's stand to our feet today. I want to ask today, maybe, I don't know if you've ever made a decision to make Jesus Lord of your life. But Jesus is powerful today. Jesus can change your situation. But faith and repentance open the door. You got to repent. How many say, "Pastor, come on, brother, I need to make a decision today to make Jesus Lord of my life"? You may have made a decision a long time ago, but you haven't walked that way. I don't know. But now's your opportunity. Is there someone would say, "Pastor, that's me"? Don't walk out of this place without the resurrection power of God in your heart. Anyone, raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Amen. 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 Anybody else? Come on, let's all pray together. Even if you didn't raise your hand, if you pray this prayer and mean it, God will change your heart. Let's pray together. Say, "Jesus, Lord, I repent. I'm a sinner. And Lord, I acknowledge I need you as my Savior. I believe you died on the cross. And on the third day, you rose again. I give you my life. Use it for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen." Second part of this altar call is this. Now, if you made a decision for Jesus Christ, don't leave out of here until you see Amanda. We've got a book for you called A Fresh Start that's going to help you in your walk. It's going to help you understand what God's done in your life. Please grab a book. Amanda, raise your hand back there. Look how pretty Amanda looks. That's Amanda right back there. Second part of this altar call is this. How many of y'all feel like, "Pastor, I really feel like the lame beggar. I'm in a place where I just can't move. I'm in a place, I feel like I'm over my head, deep waters. I feel like things are coming against me, rivers of difficulty. And I feel like the heat is being turned up in my life, the fire of oppression. And I just need some grace right now." Anybody? Anybody? Amen. Anybody? Amen. Amen. Come on, let's agree together, and then we're going to dismiss. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you said there's no temptation that such is common to man, that when it comes against us, that you will not provide a way of escape. Lord, we trust your grace. God, I just loose the miraculous power of Jesus Christ into your people, into their situation, that, Lord God, they're going to begin to move according to your will and your way. No longer, Lord God, will they be immobilized right on the precipice at the gate, but not in the temple. We're moving in the temple today. And Lord, I loose the grace of God in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless
you. You won't relent until you have it all. My heart is yours.
I'll set you as a seal upon my heart, as a seal upon my arm. For there is love that is as strong as death, jealousy demanding everything. as the grave.